Good afternoon. It's 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, July 30th. I'm Brian Shields. Today, we're going to help you solve your computer and technology troubles. Whether you're having issues with a firewall or connecting to the internet, we have a pair of experts in the studio to help you troubleshoot the problem. Tony Yang is the operator of the Albany-based Gig Computers, which currently manages the computer network here at WAMC. Also in the studio today, Mark Boghossian, owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham. A computer or technology question? Give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. So Tony, Mark, and your computer calls all coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. And welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in program. I'm Brian Shields, here to answer your computer and technology questions today, Tony Yang and Mark Boghossian. Tony began Gig Computers in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. His company began as a hobby in college and quickly blossomed into one of the largest PC retailers in the region. Tony manages networks for numerous companies and organizations, including WAMC, ranging from just a few computers to many hundreds. Mark is the owner and operator of Castle Mac Service in Latham, New York. Over 35 years of experience, Mark offers a range of Macintosh service and tech support. The number to call today on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. Email us at voxpop@wamc.org. The phone number again is 800-348-2551. Tony and Mark, thanks for coming in.
Hey, Brian. Good to be here again.
For those of us who have air conditioning, we're pretty well set with the computer. But if you don't have air conditioning, if you're in a hot apartment, a hot house, what can that heat do to your computer?
Typically, PCs are designed to run well up to about 85, 90. Once you get beyond that, you can have burned chips, capacitors could start going a lot quicker than it's designed for. Overheating is a big problem for PCs. So if you have no AC and your house temperature is 85 and beyond, try not to run that computer for too long.
800-348-2551 is the number to call. The calls already coming in today. Computers today on Vox Pop at 800-348-2551. In Poughkeepsie, Ed, go ahead.
Hey there. How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Doing well.
Sure. Good. So I have a question that has to do with my wife runs a business. Since we're not advertisers or underwriters, let's just call it Hudson Valley blank blank. And she has a Facebook page. And we're getting an awful lot of likes that don't look like real people. They look like females with attractive photos. They have no information about them. And there might be, you know, click here for my pictures or my videos of a certain type. And our business has nothing to do with that. And to compare with, we have a friend who has a similar business, exactly the same name, except the name is Global blank blank instead of Hudson Valley. She's not getting any new friends. Certainly nothing like this. And I'm wondering if you guys are seeing, is this happening? Is this, are these bots? Because we're thinking that it's just people trying to connect with some American company. Sometimes I even see Russian lettering on a picture or two.
Yeah, the Ed, you know, I don't have a Facebook presence for my company, but I do have a Facebook presence for myself personally, and I get invites and likes here and there from people that I've never met before. I think it is happening in general. I think if you're getting a lot of it, there's probably a little more behind that. But it is a normal thing that's happening all over, and you just don't know. There could be thousands or tens of thousands of these robots out there just going on pages, collecting information, and then give you a like here and there. There really isn't a whole lot you can do about it unless you make your page completely private. in that case, then that defeats the purpose of having your business on Facebook.
Yeah. So exactly. We want to put information out to real people that like our page.
That's right. Now, the positive thing about it is if you're getting a lot of likes by robots, Facebook does not know the difference. So that could turn out to be a good thing for you. All right.
Right. Well, keep in
it'll
mind,
get
too.
More attention from real people because it'll just show up higher in their searches.
Exactly. Exactly.
Services like Facebook are really external to your own home computer or business computer. So it's nothing it's probably nothing related to your own computer or your use of it, but rather there could be somebody, a friend of a friend of a friend. And it's such a link of contacts that it could have been generated from five or six generations before it gets to your system. So, but it's nothing internal,
and
it's something external.
Although certainly don't click on their links,
right.
And not just because you wouldn't want to make your wife angry.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you for calling. 800-348-2551 is the number to call. Occasionally, you'll be looking at a newspaper website. They have the comment sections under the articles, and you'll see one of those ads pop up in the comments section. Ask me about my stay-at-home job. I make $5,000 a week. That kind of thing always kind of mixes in with the computer. Can you stop that either?
It is very, very difficult. You know, that's how these sites make money.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at their website, they will pop up as a part of the web page. One of the things you can do on your computer is to disable cookies. So if you disable the cookies on your computer, it will at least stop them from being able to track what you do and which website you're going to. That's about the extent that you can help yourself. Other than that, if you go as far as trying to block these app pages, that entire website may not show up on your computer correctly. So that usually isn't the best way to go.
Computers Today, Tony Yang is here. Mark Bogosian, your phone calls at 800-348-2551. Tweet your questions and comments, WAMC Vox Pop. Email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Computers Today, 800-348-2551. Josh is calling from East Hampton, Massachusetts. Josh, go ahead.
Hey, everyone. Thanks very much for taking the call. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working at home since the mid-90s, and my latest configuration, I always get a laptop from my employer, and the latest configuration I have that I've been doing for about 2 or 3 years is I have the laptop situated in the middle, and then I have two external monitors on either side of it. So I like to spread out because I do multiple applications at a time. Well, in the last 3 or 4 weeks, one of the monitors cuts out every once in a while. Sometimes I'll reboot my system. Sometimes I'll turn that monitor in question on or off. But lately, it's just not. It comes on, but goes back out after about 2 or 3 minutes. I'm trying to determine if the problem is with that monitor itself, or could it be a driver or something in the laptop, or any ideas or where I can troubleshoot.
How are they connected, by the way? Do you have a splitter, or are you using two different ports on the laptop?
I'm using two different ports. Both of them are HDMI that go into the monitor, and one of them is an HDMI that goes into my laptop, but my laptop only has one HDMI. The other one, I didn't plan well enough to look up to see what this kind of thing is, but it looks kind of like the typical one that go into phones, where it's kind of tapered on one side, but it's about three times the width.
Sure. One thing I would try is process of elimination. Try switching the one that's going out to the other connection, if possible. Start swapping cables, things like that. It could be the monitor, but the first thing to check is it something to do with those ports? So I would try taking the left monitor, plugging it into the right side, and vice versa, and see if that yields any different symptoms or any consistent results.
Okay.
Yeah, I
and
would.
On that, any ideas?
Definitely swap the two monitors.
And Windows 10.
You know, keep the cables all exactly the same way that you have it now, but swap the two monitors, and see if that continues on the other monitor. Because if it is, then you know that it's not the monitor itself. It's something in either the cable or the PC. But it's gonna be a process of elimination. Unfortunately, there's no magic pill that would tell you exactly which device it is. But try that first.
When you say that on a splitter, are there things like that where I can get that'll split it evenly, and just from one USB port or something?
Yep, there are USB video graphics devices, although they're not as quick as the built-in ones, but you can get them that will allow you to split the multi-monitors on a laptop.
Well, cool. I'll try those out.
All right. Good luck, Josh.
Help everyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're listening to Vox Pop on WAMC. We're talking computers today at 800-348-2551. We'll take more calls with Tony and Mark in just a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from Kent Hicks Construction, specializing in deep energy retrofits, passive house, zero energy homes, and historic restorations, serving the Berkshires, Pioneer Valley, and all of Western Massachusetts for over 25 years. KentHicksConstruction.com. The Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, celebrating 30 years of protecting the land that protects the lake, offering more than 35 miles of trails for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. LGLC.org. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. And Edgar Bosick, Certified Financial Planner, Private Financial Design, South Hadley. Your life, your plan, your portfolio. PrivateFinancialDesign.com. Securities through Cambridge Investment Research, member FINRA and SIPC. And Vermont Coffee Company, organic coffee in the brown paper bag, available at local grocers. Vermont Coffee Company, coffee roasted for friends.
It's all about technology and computers today on Vox Pop. Tony Yang of Gig Computers, Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Services are with us. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Emails at voxpop@wamc.org. And here's an email from Laura. I have a dumb phone. I have always been able to email a photo from my phone to my email, but lately the email never shows up in the email inbox. Any ideas?
Just how dumb is that phone?
Sounds pretty dumb.
I'm thinking that probably the configuration for the email was somehow erased or changed, and that's why you're not getting email anymore. It just needs to be reconfigured.
Right. Or sometimes, if it's an older device, the servers that are used for that particular email service might have been updated or changed to the extent that either, like Tony says, you have to redo them, or the device may no longer be compatible. Mm-hmm. So if the email service server addresses and settings have changed because of their advancements, that could cause that device to no longer be compatible as well.
800.
But I would start, pardon me, by redoing those settings.
800-348-2551. Kathy is calling from Seward. Hello, Kathy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thanks for taking the call. I got a really dumb basic question. I am considering getting a new laptop, and what kinds of things can be transferred from the old one to the new one? Can I transfer emails, pictures, documents, software?
Mark, you want to...
What?
Are you in Macintosh or Windows?
Windows.
Kathy, you can basically transfer everything that you got from one computer to another when you buy a new PC. There are many, many ways of doing that. One of the quickest and the easiest is to physically move that old drive from your old computer to the new one. and use that drive as a second drive. That way you have every little file.
Well, I don't want every little thing. You know, I'm interested in, you know, getting rid of junk.
Mm. In that
case, you know,
case,
that might be in there, and I'm probably going to have, like, if I go to a store or something, somebody else do it.
Okay.
The other thing I wanted to ask, I have Windows 10 now on this laptop, and is there a way to create my own folders in Windows 10? I used to be able to do that in Outlook, and I missed that.
Yes, in Windows 10, you can create your own folder. You can create your own account so that only if you log in as Kathy, it will show all of your files, while other users wouldn't see that if they log in as their own account. So you can definitely do that.
This is email.
Oh, this is email, yes. So within Outlook, you can absolutely create folders for different categories of emails that you get. You can still do that with any version of Outlook. Just getting back to that data transfer.
It's not Outlook. It's Windows 10 Mail.
Yeah, Windows 10 Mail actually works the same. It's a simplified version of Outlook. So you'll be able to do that in there as well. Kathy, just want to get back to you about the data transfer. Grab a USB drive. There's an external USB drive that you can get probably for $50 and move over whatever file you need. And then when you want to use it on a new computer, you plug it in, and there it is. That's probably the simplest way for you to get that information over.
All right, Kathy, thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551. Computers Today on Vox Pop. The number to call, 800-348-2551. Also, email us, voxpop@wamc.org. To Cahoes, Bob has a question. Go ahead, Bob.
Hello, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions, actually. The simplest one is there any reason to have Norton available for Alexa devices?
I'm not fluent with them, honestly. I don't know. Tony?
So, Bob, Alexa runs basically on an Android operating system. I am not aware of anything specifically that's a security concern for Alexa's. However, as a general rule, if there is some type of a security protection for a device, I will recommend that you get it, because there easily could be something out there that just hasn't been publicized yet. And these softwares out there could potentially protect you from all of these hackers out there. So yes, if it's available, put it on there. That's the best practice.
And Bob, have you tried asking Alexa?
Actually, no, I haven't.
Okay.
But then again, we're just getting to know each other. The other question I have is, I have built my own computer and my own server. Is there any reason to have the Norton 360, because the price is really good right now through Amazon. Should I put the Norton 360 on the server as well?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. It's 800-348-2551, Vox Pop on WAMC. Tony is with Gig Computers, and Mark is the owner and operator of CastleMax Service in Latham. Your call's at 800-348-2551. From Troy, Perry, go ahead.
Hi, thank you for doing the show, as usual. And just kind of a shot in the dark, but I figured I'd have to ask. I have a problem where my PC, if I shut it off, and then I try and turn it back on again, it doesn't restart. It takes, I have to wait like an hour, and then if I try and restart it, it'll go, I can hear the fans running, but it doesn't boot up. So I have to shut it off, unplug it, and wait like 2 hours. And then when I plug it back in, it'll turn on.
Huh.
But I have no idea why it doesn't restart after that hour.
Yeah, Perry, normally, if you have trouble shutting down and restarting the computer, it's because there's a piece of what's called a resident program. So some type of a program running in the background that's not shutting itself down properly. When Windows does a shutdown, it goes and shuts down every little program in the back end, in the background. So when it's stuck doing that, it's because there's something that it isn't able to shut down. You unfortunately will have to go through what Mark calls a process of elimination. I will start with the latest piece of software that you've installed and go from there.
Okay.
All right. Best of luck.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. It's 800-348-2551. Catherine is calling from Salem. Catherine, go ahead.
Yes. My great-granddaughter is graduating from high school and needs a computer for college. I'm asking if you have a recommendation of one that I could buy for her.
Well, I would probably suggest that you, unless it's a surprise, talk to her or maybe one of her parents. Does she use a computer now? Many young people can adapt from, say, Mac to PC or vice versa, but they also find it comforting if they're used to one particular platform, either Windows or Macintosh, to remain using that or keep using that. The other factor might be to contact or find out, again, through her parents, what the college might support. Many campuses will support Macintosh and Windows, but some campuses are more Windows leaning or more Mac leaning. So you don't want to put her in a position where she's swimming upstream, either based on what she's used to or based on what the rest of the college campus is using. So I might do a little questioning of either her or parents about some of those factors first.
If I call the college, what office do I speak to?
Many schools will have a academic computing department or technology department that would be able to address that. It's so considered so mainstream now, it shouldn't be very difficult to get that information.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Would it matter what this college-age child is majoring in? Is there a better computer for pre-med or
good point.
English lit?
Well, I don't know so much for those two particular subjects or topics, but if you're into engineering or graphic design or filmmaking, then yes, that would be a major factor. Again, a good reason to call the school and find out.
800-348-2551. Paul is in Albany. Paul.
Yes, thank you. I have kind of an interlocking question. I'm not sure how simply I can ask it, but I recently started a training program that has a portal into it that I have on my phone, and I wanted to be able to access it from my laptop or from other computers so that I can easily print stuff from it and like that. So the problem is actually basically a Facebook problem. I hadn't updated Facebook on my new phone. And I didn't remember my old password, but when I clicked on create password, it said it created a whole new Facebook account, and I don't really have handy access to my original account. I mean, I gave my information over, and apparently I used just my first name for the first account and my full name for the second account. And I thought they were just verifying my identity, but even though I gave the same information, the same phone number and the same email, it created a separate account, and I don't know how to like uncreate that. So that's kind of my basic problem: how to uncreate the second Facebook account, which has confused everybody. They thought somebody stole my identity for a while.
Facebook doesn't go away easy, does it?
It does not, unfortunately.
What you can do,
Paul, is you can close your Facebook, the second or the first Facebook account. Unfortunately, you have no control over how long they will maintain that data and make it visible to the rest of the world. But that will be the first process, is to close one of those accounts. Perhaps also it would be advisable to just shoot an email over to Facebook. That's the only way that they will support anything these days. Shoot an email over and let them know the situation, and hopefully they can give you some additional suggestions beyond that.
Okay, just close it outright and let them know, like.
Contact the support at Facebook and let them know that you have a duplicated account. That way, they don't think that somebody is trying to hack your account. And like I said, just close one of the accounts up so that it doesn't continue to have two presences on Facebook.
Okay, I'm not used to being able to speak to an individual there, but that actually can happen, you're saying, not just get the boilerplate help answers and, you know, my problem is not falling into the usual category.
That's right, yeah. It would take a while, but they will get back to you. I've had Facebook respond to me on certain issues. It may take a couple of weeks or several weeks, but they will get back to you.
Okay.
All right, best
of luck. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Facebook is like plastic. It's hard to get rid of it, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. You know, when you're there, their whole business is information.
Yeah.
To get rid of any information is at a cost, at a high cost over time. So it's very, very difficult.
800-348-2551. We're talking computers and technology today on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551. Tony Yang is with Gig Computers, and Mark Bogosian is with Castle Mac Service in Latham. And we take your calls at 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. George is calling from New Jersey. George, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hi.
I have a 2008 vintage MacBook Pro 17-inch screen, and it's dying a slow death. It can no longer be updated, and the cooties are invading it. What I want to do is bring it to a Mac store, even though they tell me I can do this at home, and after backing up all my files, all my pictures, etc., I want my the computer wiped out clean, and then Apple says they can reload the operating systems. I'd get the most the most modern ones they had, which still leaves me wanting a new computer, of course, but I'll have a remedied old computer again to play with my pictures on. So my question is, how successful is that, to the best of your knowledge?
Well, if you have somebody erase the hard drive and reinstall the latest operating system, and if it's a 2008, the latest that you'll be able to install on that is quite old and quite limited, but it'll be at least as good as what you've got now in terms of capabilities. But by erasing the hard drive and reinstalling a clean operating system, it should be 100% successful. When you say they're cooties invading, that very well could be what a lot of people misunderstand is, if you're running a very old operating system and old browsers, Safari or Firefox or Chrome, you're going to get a lot of odd responses and problems and issues when you're browsing or looking at things on the internet because it's such an old operating system. But yes, it should be 100% successful. The other thing to keep in mind is if you restore your files from the backup, you want to manually restore those. That is, copy them to an external USB drive, for instance, and then manually copy those back. If you do a full migration or restoration from the built-in backup software, you're going to reintroduce those same problems that you had to begin with.
Well, thank you for that. That's a good tip. So the backup external hard drive onto which I have begun transferring, is that the necessary step? Is that what I
need
to do?
Yes, right. So you would drag over a copy your documents, your pictures, your desktop files, things like that, the content. And then once the computer is redone, you would restore them the same way from the backup drive to the computer.
That makes me very happy because I have Team Viewer and something called Mega Backup. One is a conference where,
right.
The other one is really a salesware. And
it's a big problem.
I've had bad luck with Mac Sweeper and any of those free download ones.
That's right.
So
you don't want to use any of those
stuff.
Yep. None of those cleaners or fixers or those types of apps should be used. Absolutely.
Where do I get, what kind of cleaner do I get, sir?
Nothing. Just use the operating system and maybe invest in a good antivirus program. I recommend Sophos, S-O-P-H-O-S. But you don't need any of those drive utilities or cleaners or fixers. Absolutely.
Appreciate
not.
It. I owe you a beer. Thank you.
All right.
What about us? 800-348-2551. Yeah. We're talking computers today with Tony and Mark. More calls in a moment.
Support for WAMC comes from the Hyde Collection in Glens Falls, exhibiting its commitment to preserving art of Europe and America with masterpieces under the microscope, sponsored in part by Warren County, HydeCollection.org. The Department of Theater Arts at SUNY New Paltz, an undergraduate liberal arts theater program with concentrations in design, technology, theater studies, and performance, newpaltz.edu/theater. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarriers and fabricators, used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires, ashfieldstone.com. The Lake George Association, working to protect Lake George water for more than a century, lakegeorgeassociation.org. And Lakeview Orchard, 94 Old Cheshire Road, Lanesboro, Massachusetts. You pick and pre-picked tree fruits, berries, pies, pastries, cider donuts, galumpki, pierogi, kapusta, and kielbasa. LakeviewOrchard.com.
It's all about technology and computers today on Vox Pop. Tony Yang of Gig Computers, Mark Boghossian of Castle Mac Services are here. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. David and Saugerties. David, go ahead.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I live on the edge of Saugerties, very close to state land, where we're a little too far back for cable or Fios or anything to come back, so we only have our cell phones as a means for connection to the internet. And even then, sometimes it's a little spotty. We use our phones as a hotspot to connect our computers to the internet, and we've been trying to figure out if there is a wireless means that would help our signal so that we could stream on some of the video platforms like YouTube and Netflix and Prime. Do you have any suggestions?
Hi, David. The potentially, you know, there's a company called what's their name? I think it's Hudson Valley Communications. They have been a wireless ISP for a long, long time, and they cover many of these areas that do not have traditional broadband service. So that's one place to look at. And then there are a couple of other pieces of information that might interest you. One is 5G is on the cusp of being widely deployed. So you're gonna have your option of pretty fast broadband access on your cell phone, I would think within the next few months, maybe to a year. And then you also have Tesla that just deploy a worldwide satellite internet service that I would think within the next 12 months we should hear a lot of news about. So there's things coming down the pipeline, but Hudson Valley Wireless is a place to look at. They have been able to serve a lot of the places that our customers can't get any other broadband service, and they can get you speeds up to 100 megs up and down.
Now, Hudson Valley Wireless, would be switching carriers in order to use them, or would that be in addition to, say, Verizon or whoever else?
That would be in addition to your Verizon service. They're not a cell phone company. They are a wireless ISP, internet service provider. So it's essentially the same as getting Spectrum, but without the coax cable or fiber going into your house. So it's certainly a place to look at. They've been doing this for almost 20 some years that I can think back.
Well, this could be really great information. I'll check them out. So I have the opportunity to ask one other quick question.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
On behalf of my wife, she would like to free up space on her iPhone 5S. Storage is pretty full. It's only a 16-gig phone. So things are stored on the phone as well as on the Apple Cloud. But it's been explained to me that if we delete the phones, the photos from the phone, they will also go away on the cloud, which seems counterintuitive. And I'm wondering, how can we free up space on our phone without just deleting photos, and she wants to save the photos elsewhere?
Sure. Well, one of the things that's a little unclear to a lot of users between the cloud and the phone storage is, when you're viewing your pictures in the Photos app on the phone, you're viewing pictures that may or may not be saved on the phone, as well as a viewer to see what's actually on the cloud. So if you pick up your phone and start deleting pictures, the first one may be saved on the device and therefore will be gone forever. The next one looks like it's on your phone, but it's really just viewing your cloud account. So you delete that and it'll be gone from all devices. The simplest way that I've found to do this is to log on to your iCloud account through a computer or another device, and that will allow you to see exactly what's in the cloud and what's not. So if you were in front of your computer, you'll go to iCloud.com and log in with your Apple ID and password. There'll be an icon for photos. And then when you view that, you can literally look side by side between the phone and the cloud and determine what's actually stored on the phone and what's being viewed on the phone or the cloud through the phone. Does that make sense?
It does. However, it doesn't answer the part that allows us to free up space on the phone.
Well, If you can figure out what's on the phone, you can try to transfer those, email them, or somehow transfer them so that they actually save into the cloud. It's a little tough to describe the process, but it can be done. And therefore, everything that you see on the phone will really be on the cloud. It's just a viewer of the cloud account. But the first thing is to be able to determine what's actually stored on the phone, and by looking at it on a computer, you'd be able to tell what's on the cloud at that time. Another place to check is, many of us have text messages that have videos or pictures, and that sucks up a lot of storage as well. So those would be manually removed or saved to the cloud through the text application.
Okay. Now, so if something was saved to the cloud and you still see it on your phone, could it be both on the phone, on the device, and in the cloud, and need to be removed from the phone?
Only if you had two copies of it. So if you were to look at my phone now, every single picture of the 3,000 pictures are on the cloud. They're not taking up a bit of memory on the phone. So yeah, if you had two copies of it, yes, that could happen. But if there's one copy, it's either on the cloud or on the phone.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, David. It's 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. And Rick, thank you for holding on in Hudson. Rick, go ahead.
Oh, good afternoon. We have a 15-year-old Toshiba laptop that we haven't used in 5 years. And we had a tech-savvy relative last year that took all the sensitive information off the laptop and put it in the new Windows 10. And before we take it to the electronics junkyard, we plugged it in to make sure everything was off, and we found that the hard drive is hung up, and it seems to be still engaged on the buffer, and we just want to make sure that all sensitive information is removed from the laptop before we throw it away. Any suggestions?
Hey, Rick. So you can get a what's called a hard drive scrubbing software and just completely what we call a data bit formatting of the drive. That will wipe everything away if you If you have the ability to do that, of course, you're going to have to hook it up to another PC to be able to do that. Your other option, couple of easy options. One is you can put that drive next to a huge piece of magnet and just leave it there for a little bit. Move it around. That a lot of times would do the job. The other thing, if you want to get real adventurous, throw that in the microwave for about 15, 20 seconds. That will really do it.
Do it to your microwave too, won't it?
Yeah. So, you know, the low-level formatting will wipe out all the data on a drive. It is irrecoverable.
Is there any possibility that any sensitive information could still be in the buffer?
Yes. If your drive isn't completely scrubbed, there is always that possibility. Somebody will really have to want to get to it. It potentially can get some of the information could be stored on the drive still, even after you format it. If you're talking about the buffer such as the cache memory that's on the drive, then no, the answer to that is no. The cache wouldn't survive. The data wouldn't survive after the shutdown. Once the power is cut, the memory that's in the cache will be erased permanently.
The trouble is that the hard drive stalls. It doesn't. It's not fluid anymore. That's why we can't really see. But you're saying that in the buffer being the cache, we're safe with that. If there would be no, once you downpower the unit, all that memory is gone.
That's right. Yeah, that's like the RAM on a computer. Once you shut it down, there's nothing left in there.
Okay, that's good enough.
All right.
Thank you for calling, Rick. 800-348-2551. Let's talk to Michelle in Albany. Michelle.
Hi. I have a question. My mom passed away about 5 years ago, and she was an author. And all of her files are kept on an old computer that we've kept, hoping at some point to be able to access those files, and they have a password on them. So I'm just wondering if there's somewhere I can bring it to be able to access those files. I'm hoping.
Is it a Mac or a PC?
It's a PC.
Okay, Michelle, that normally can be easily done. A drive that's in a computer that has a password on it, you can attack it a couple of ways. So if you bring it to any local PC shop, they should be either be able to reset the password for you, or they can take that drive and put it on another computer and grab all the data off it and then deliver that to you on either a DVD drive or a thumb drive or USB drive. So yes, it can be easily done. You're in good shape.
Oh, good. That's so great to hear.
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling, Michelle, and thank you for hanging on. 800-348-2551. A few more calls. Catherine is in Warsing. Catherine?
Hi. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I have a question about Android operating systems. I've worked with Windows PCs and laptops since the 80s, and I have no issues with them. I got a tablet a few years ago with an Android operating system, and it is making me crazy. Every time I use it, I want to break it. Can you recommend a resource, a website or a book, where I could learn something about the Android operating system and file systems? And because some of these apps have put files on my homepage, and I don't want them there. Is there anything out there?
Mark, you want to take that one?
I'm an iPhone user. The best I could say is next time you feel like breaking it, break it and buy yourself something that's usable. I'm sorry for your troubles, honestly, but I don't know Android.
A true Apple person right there sitting next to me. Catherine, I almost always send people to one resource up on the internet, and that's YouTube. If you just go onto YouTube.com and search up, Android operating system tutorial, there must be millions of hits on there, and pick some of the more highly rated ones. They are very, very good informational videos. that would be the first resource to go to. It's free. You get to watch a video, and they will show you the ins and outs of the Android system.
Could I ask you one other quick? I also use an Android smartphone, and I have been reluctant to load any apps on my smartphone because I'm concerned about the data they can scrape and capture. Is there anything that tells me how this works then, other than reading those unending user agreements that nobody reads before they click on my agree? I can tell how to keep them out of my data that I don't want them to have access to.
Bad connection. Can you understand what you said?
Yeah, I think I heard most of it. To protect the information that's on your Android device, as far as we know, Google, that's the manufacturer of the owner of Android operating systems, do not get a copy of what's stored on your Android device. So there are no worries there. I will recommend, however, that you put in some type of a virus spyware protections software such as Norton on your Android device to prevent potential hacking onto the phone. Other than that, there are no other information that I'm aware of that will put your data at risk.
Thank you very much, Catherine. We're running out of time, but we've got time for a few more calls. Patricia in Connecticut, go ahead.
Hi, I'm a very senior person as well as my husband. We have two PCs. They're old. One's about 10 years, one's 5 years. We're afraid to open up the email because we don't know what's on it. We're afraid of viruses, and we have quite a bit built up over the years. We get about 25 a day. How can I get rid of them and save maybe the last 3 months' worth? That's my first question. Where would I go? Who would I bring it to? What would I do? Where I'm not computer savvy. I'm 80 years old, so
Patricia, let me ask you this: What program do you use for your email? How do you check your email?
We have an email account. We Google, I guess.
With Gmail.
Chrome, I guess.
Yeah.
Eagle.
So
what was the question?
You can go on to Gmail and select the first email all the way down to the bottom. Just hit the hold down the shift key, and that will select the entire list of emails.
Hold down the shift.
The shift key from the top to the bottom, and that will select all the emails for you. And you do have to manually delete it, unfortunately. There is no quick way around it. So you will have to go through all those emails and delete them.
Now, when you say go to the top, what do you mean? The first one that shows up on that page.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Just click on it and hold
right.
the shift button down.
And then scroll all the way down to the bottom and select the last one.
Down to the bottom. And then let the shift button up.
Yep. And then hit delete. That will get rid of all the emails that's on that screen, and then you can move on to the next one.
And then hit delete.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next question, I don't want the ads that come up with the Google News, but because I have an ad block, they won't let me read anything except at CNN or some other areas. So is there any way I can listen to or read the news without the ads popping up?
About 60 seconds.
Yep. Unfortunately, there is no way effectively to do that. This is how these companies make money, and by delivering you the news, it comes with the ads as part of the bundle. So unfortunately, the answer to that is no most of the time. There is no effective way of doing this.
800-348-2551. Actually, we're just about out of time, but any final comments about computer safety in this age of hacking and such?
Yeah, you know, we were talking about this in the beginning. Capital One has like 100 million records out there of people that was hacked this past week or made known that they were hacked. So call your credit card agencies and put a freeze on it if you apply to Capital One in the past 6 months or so.
And we are just about out of time. I'd like to thank everyone who called in and apologize to those on the line, Judy, Joe, Bob, and Nicolette. I'd also like to thank Tony Yang of Gig Computers and Mark Bogosian of Castle Mac Service for joining us today. Support for WAMC comes from Stavros, helping people with disabilities achieve their dreams. Offices in Amherst, Greenfield, and Springfield. Stavros.org for more information. Vischer Ferry General Store offering freshly prepared food and eclectic gift items. Open Thursday through Sunday. VischerFerryGeneralStore.com. Gather, shop, eat. CNH Architects, helping clients throughout New England and New York to create a legacy of sustainable architecture through design and collaboration designed for the next 100 years, CNHArchitects.com. Thanks again for joining us today on Vox Pop. Our engineer, Zach Malloy, your calls answered by Susie Chekai, our producer, Jim Lavoulis. I'm Brian Shields. Tomorrow, it's all about real estate. Stay tuned now for The Book Show.